League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Oh, fucking hell, Dan. Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 26 of the Tottenham Way Podcast. I'm Tom and I'm your host. It's an El Clasico this week.
Again.
Dan, again. Yeah, I think you put it out.
Gotta remember to invite guests.
We do remember, but just late.
We do remember.
We're really bad at this at the moment. Since sort of Christmas.
I was on a good roll of getting some big names in, getting all the old favourites back.
Yeah.
Just slipped.
Yeah, we're phoning it in a little bit now.
People love an El Clasico.
Yeah, they do love an El Clasico, particularly I think the last one was when you were talking about the smallest man in the world, which is still I think my favourite ever moment on this podcast. I had to edit out long stretches of almost silence because we were collapsed in our chairs laughing at it. It's brilliant.
I'm not drinking tonight.
I've got a cup of tea.
For listeners, we're in a very small, very hot studio, and I find that after one beer, I do get completely delirious.
Yeah, we've
talked a lot
it.
Of nonsense.
Yeah, we've lost
so
it
this
completely.
Week. Be a tight, concise, informative podcast.
Second week in a row we've had tea, though. It was very civilised last week in your flat.
Oh yeah, in my bedroom,
in your new flat. There's tea and there was flapjacks, which a couple of people said that they heard us eat tucking into.
Really?
Yeah. So apologies for that. Yeah, but no guests this week. So never mind. We persevere. We'll be fine, Dan.
We'll be fine.
We'll be broadly okay. You went to Belgium, didn't you, in the week?
I did.
For the game.
The big game.
I think when we got knocked out of the Champions League, yeah. we had a bit of a chat about that and we said, do you reckon you'll be sent to Europa League? Because we weren't sure, because the Europa League's obviously got a reputation for you having to go to like fucking Siberia or something like that. But you went there for the Champions League anyway, pretty much, for Moscow. So,
oh, yeah.
Your trips now look a lot more user-friendly, let's say. You know, what we've got left is like Belgium and your Germany, France, those sort of nice little trips. So the first one, hopefully of many, was Belgium. How was it? Where is it? Where's Ghent?
Ghent, it's half an hour train from Brussels. Right. And it's not far from Bruges.
Did you get the train?
I mean, I got the Eurostar, yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like
the
whole of Belgium's pretty small, isn't it? So. Mm. I'm not really sure whereabouts it is in Belgium. But the game aside, the city of Ghent, is actually really nice. And everyone bangs on about Bruges, don't they? I think because the film's kind of made it cult and everyone goes there with their missus and has a really nice time.
Sarah's taken me in.
Is she really?
Yeah, in May.
So my advice is go to Ghent.
Really?
Because it's really similar. I've been to both. I went to Bruges with my ex. And it is really nice.
Do you reckon it's cheaper?
I don't know. I reckon it's probably about the same. But Ghent has all the canals, has all the old churches, it has all the nice restaurants. But instead of loads of tourists, it's got loads of students because there's a university there.
And it's got
the football team, which adds something. But it's really nice. I mean, in common with all the trips, really, the only thing that ruined it was the Spurs fans.
Yeah, Spurs fans, right, yeah.
Spurs fans were actually very good, and I think there were a lot more than the 1,200 seat, a lot more fans than the seat allocation, which was 1,200. There were at least a couple of thousand, I think, in the city centre, which is like the old town. And as usual, they kind of took over the place. But it was really nice. I recommend it, and Belgian people are lovely, and obviously strong beer, chips, waffles, steak. What more do you want?
Yeah, is that well? A Spurs win would have been
nice, or at least
not a completely incompetent, couldn't give a shit performance that we got. It was just a weird one, wasn't it, really? It felt like just, a hangover.
It's almost unsurprising when you think about previous Europa League performances.
Yeah, I suppose. But every time, every single year, you think, maybe this will be different. Maybe now it looks as if, I think I said it a couple of weeks ago, like we're probably out of the title race, let's face it, realistically. Certainly more so than we were last year, if that makes sense. But it's particularly at this stage, and you just think, yeah, all right, like let's have a go. And this might be our only route into Champions League. Who knows? We're only 2 points off sixth as it is at the moment. I'm not saying we should be looking down necessarily, but it's a realistic possibility that we should be looking at. But we didn't really get started at all, did we? I think we had Ali shot wide in the first half, and in the first 10 minutes of the second half, we seemed to be on top and we were creating a lot, but didn't really break through.
Yeah, and then I was stuck in a lift. I missed Kane hitting the post.
Oh, really?
So I got stuck in a lift. like everyone in the press box thought I was like off interviewing someone, doing something really important, because I came back like 6 or 7 minutes after the start of the second half.
What happened?
I went down. It was like the press box was on about the fifth floor, and the press room was on the ground floor. I went down just for some like tea and cake or whatever, just to like, I needed a bit of a pick me up. I was like, I'll have a tea, then I'll crack into this report. You know, I'd done a bit of it. And I just went down, thought I'd gone, the lift opens in a different place to when you get in on the ground floor. So I just thought, oh, I've come one floor too down too far. Ended up going all the way back to the top again, then going back down again. Finding where I was, getting the tea and cake, going to the loo, and then by the time I got back up, after some weirdo stopped on like every floor, it was like I came back. I was like, "What did I miss?" And like Kane hit the post. And I was like, "Are you being serious?" Yeah. I didn't know if I was being mugged off, and yeah, I was then about to write my report. Kane.
Does that happen a lot in the journalist community?
A mugging off.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't. But I just was. Spurs have been so bad.
Always be wary.
It just surprised me at that point that they had actually managed a decent attempt. But yeah, it was, I mean, you mentioned Ali, he got a lot of stick, I thought, but you know, I thought to his credit, he didn't hide at all. He never does, does he? Mm. He was the only one who looked like he was trying to score a goal. Mm. He had a few shots, he wasn't great. But yeah, the whole thing was just lacking energy. They looked tired, they looked disinterested.
Like this.
much as like I feel today. Gent just wanted it more, didn't they?
I think they sensed an opportunity by the second half. Thought that they were good, I thought, in the first half, but we could have held them at arm's length. But once it looked like we weren't really interested in kind of busting more of a gut than we did in the first 10 minutes of the second half, like we were kind of that and nothing. That was it. That was our effort.
Yeah.
And I just think they sensed an opportunity to nick it, and nick it they did, really. I think they only had a couple of chances, and that was the clearest one, and they scored from it. Just on Ali, I never want to see him on the left, ever. I never want to see him anywhere else other than that, where he played for us when we played Chelsea. And I appreciate that tactics and formations do change, and it's difficult to play that formation all of the time, or that system to suit Ali all of the time. But we've said it on there before. He's a striker. He's basically a striker now. And
you want him as close to Kane as possible.
Yeah, and
you want him in the middle.
Kane, I think Kane is more capable of coming deep and creating space, because defenders follow him everywhere, and that's how Ali picks up these pockets of space. From what I see, but
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like it's a completely wasted player almost to have him on the left, particularly as we had. Ben Davies was starting left back as well, so it's a really kind of ponderous left side that we've got that doesn't really end up going anywhere.
Yeah, which Spurs had for years under Yol and early Redknapp before Bale came through. The ponderous left side was how I'd
Mal Bronk
described Tottenham. Yeah, Tainio.
Davids
used to do a job there.
Used to do a job there. We had Danny Murphy out there for a little while.
Yeah. I think
great days.
Yeah, I think it was a surprising decision, particularly because Eriksen, although he doesn't really like it, has actually proved himself to be quite capable of doing it. He's such an intelligent player that he always makes it work when he's forced to play on that flank, and actually normally looks really effective out wide. So, but obviously Pochettino wanted to give him a rest. Yeah, it was a strange one, and the thing about Ghent that I just kept coming back to again, and it's been done to death, so I don't really feel like there's much more to say, but it was just another damning indictment of the transfer business. Like Spurs spent 30 million quid, or no, 10 million quid, sorry, on a left winger in Kudu, and we're playing Ali there, because Kudu's not very good.
Yeah,
Sissoko was supposed to be the 30 million for that man. He's supposed to be the difference maker like Mane was for Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, who also cost 30 million, but he was the auxiliary left wing back in the beginning of the second half.
And to be fair, we did it immediately look better when we changed to that formation.
We did, although I'm not sure that was Sissoko's doing.
No, fair.
As much as the formation's doing.
Very fair.
And yeah, in that respect, the goal did come at a slightly unfortunate time, because it looked like Spurs were doing a bit better and you know, if they'd have continued that kind of upward arc, they might have nicked a goal. But as it was, Ghent scored with their first shot on target, I think.
Maybe, yeah. It's certainly first.
Certainly what Pochettino claimed afterwards, that it was their first shot on target.
I thought Pochettino's interview after was a bit odd.
He seemed quite down. Actually, I think he got a bit of an easy time.
Because he said that created lots of chances.
Wouldn't he?
Well, would he? I'm not too sure. I think when we play badly, and when we've played badly before, he's said that we've played badly. So unless he genuinely believed that we didn't deserve to lose that, which I suppose maybe has a point, maybe he thought we should have probably come away with that with a 0-0 horrible performance, smashing 3-1 at home or something. But to lose 1-0 and to play in the way that we did, we've had games like that before where we've just not clicked and looked sluggish and just awful, horrible to watch. That, and he's been quite forthright after those games. So I just thought I was a bit surprised.
After the Fulham game, he said that there were lots of internal meetings after Ghent. So I think it was just one of those occasions where he wanted to do his bollocking behind closed doors. And he's well within his right to do that. And actually, it's the media's job to have given him harder questions. But I think one of the things about his comments after the game were there was no press conference before the Fulham game. So that his post-match press conference in Belgium was also a preview for Fulham. So after a couple of questions about the game, there was a lot of forward-looking stuff about how he would take the FA Cup. So perhaps if there had been a press conference the day after, on Friday, back in London, perhaps there would have been more depth or more difficult questions on why Spurs were so poor. But as it was, he was able to just say, oh, we did all right, and he kind of got away with it.
Did anything about those? I saw an article about we had two internal meetings after the Ghent game or after Liverpool game, something like that. I didn't actually manage to get around to reading them. Did he let on anything about what was involved in those meetings? Who was?
No, I think a running theme of the post-Liverpool defeat and post-Ghent defeat was that he kept saying, oh, the players wanted the chance to make amends. And that's why he played strong teams against Ghent and then Fulham. But I suspect it's because he doesn't really trust the second string to do the job anymore. But actually, it painted a quite nice picture of the players kind of coming forward and saying, yeah, we know we've not been good enough. We'll put it right on Sunday or whatever. So that's kind of what he suggested, but he's not really gone into details about it.
Okay. We've got the second leg coming up on Thursday. I think we mentioned the last couple of weeks about how, with this being a three cup game fortnight, if that makes any sense at all, we had the opportunity to play strong teams, and we've done that in both the first two. But I think that we thought that if that had happened, we'd have the job done in both of those games so far. So the third game would be a bit of a free hit. Now we've got a goal deficit to overcome, and at Wembley, where we have struggled, like Cesc's probably a good barometer of a Europa League side at Wembley. Not sure how much they wanted to win. I'm not 100% sure or 100% about how much we wanted to win that game necessarily, but we are where we are. But it's a very different game now. We've lost that first leg, isn't it? that yeah, sickening. I know it's obvious to say, but you know what I mean.
I think the ideal scenario for Pochettino was to play that team in Ghent, get a lead, play the team in Fulham, win, and then be able to rest players on Thursday ahead of Stoke and play a slightly weaker team. He can't do that now, so he has got a decision to make, really, because drop points against Stoke and the title race is completely done. And
we could be sick by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, and he could be really... Well, Spurs could be really dragged into that fourth to sixth battle.
Yeah.
When a couple of weeks ago it looked like it was the first to second battle. So it is a big... It's quite a big decision. You know, does he trust the second string and risk crashing out the Europa League? Mm. I suspect he's going to go strong for both games again. But he's been quite clever. I mean, Walker's had a rest.
Yeah.
Obviously, Vertonghen's just come back from 5 weeks out, and assuming there's no repercussions from playing 90 minutes against Fulham, you'd think he could play a couple more games.
Dyer got a rest.
Eriksen got a rest in Belgium. So it's not like
Vincent Janssen's really well rested.
Yeah, Vincent Janssen is fresh as a daisy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like everyone's been flogged and played 180 minutes in the last 5 days. He's gonna be able to field a relatively fresh team on Thursday, and then you'd think they have enough of a rest before Stoke on what, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, so it's Stoke's Sunday fixture.
So it's not ideal, but
I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe we're after Liverpool. We were so poor with a first the strongest team that we could have possibly put out. And we were quite poor against... Well, we were very poor against Liverpool. And then we were really quite poor in Ghent with a strong team. And then you talk about these meetings and we've said, you know, we've got to react to this because it's February. We've got 3 months left of this season. We can't let things implode. Good performance against Fulham. Perhaps a win against Ghent, but with a strong team. Building up that form, isn't it, again? And that's something that we struggled with at the start of the season. All of these players had... medium-term injuries, like 8 weeks here and there. You know, Kane probably the most prominent, Alderweireld as well. We've now had Rose, we've now had Vertonghen. It's a chance to just build up a bit of fitness and form. These guys have had their rests over the course of the season. Last season, Kane played every single game. So this season, he's not played that. He's sort of had his pre-season in a way, and he's hopefully started to fire again. So. It just in terms of tiredness and stuff like that, I'm not particularly on board for all of that this time round. I think every player has had a much bigger rest at times this season than they had last season. And it was only in May that you really saw a drop off. And half of that was psychological, not physical.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the only player who is in that position is Wanyama, really, who's sort of missed Mr. Undroppable this year.
Mm.
But yeah, you'd think he'll get a rest soon and Dyer might play a couple of games in midfield.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. I keep forgetting that we've got Dyer as that.
Yeah,
kind
so
of made.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I don't think it's as pressing an issue for bad reasons because we've had these injuries. But yeah, nonetheless,
not a bit wary of using this, but blessing in disguise. When you think of Kane hadn't had a rest in 3 years. And that includes like pre-seasons and international tournaments and stuff. And then he had 8 weeks off, which is never good. You never want to lose your best striker. But
yeah.
he hadn't stopped playing football in 3 years. So we could have the next 3 months where he just flies. He's already got 20-odd goals this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. I don't think it was particularly a blessing because Spurs were so bad in that October.
I am wary of using that term.
That could have been what cost... cost them a run at the title, but I know what you're getting at.
Yeah. We don't really have a lot of choice with Kane because we should probably talk about Janssen. Just
what can we say though?
It's done, isn't it? Really? Do you think it's difficult to see him coming back? He's mugged him off publicly, and the last time he did that was with Sissoko. Sissoko reacted for about a month and a half, and now he seems to be back to. Just not being trusted enough to be...
Yeah, I mean, going back to the recruitment, Pochettino doesn't really criticise players in public. I mean, the last time he did that before Sissoko was Townsend, I think, when he said he you stepped out of line or whatever after that spat with the fitness coach. As far as I can remember, he never mugged off Kabul, Adebayor, Paulinho, Kapu, Bentaleb. So actually, it's quite a break from the norm when he does publicly criticise players, and it's now happened two of Spurs' four summer signings.
Yeah.
Again, the recruitment was just bad. Yeah. It was just really, really bad. And I feel a bit for Jensen. I don't think it's quite over, but it's certainly getting there. I mean, it's still worth saying that I think he scored something like 21 of his 27 goals after Christmas last season when he was top scorer in the Eredivisie. So he does take a while to get going, and that was his first and only year in the Dutch top flight. But just every kind of cup game that goes by that he doesn't play in...
Yeah, this is it.
You just think, okay, well, when's he going to play again?
Yeah.
I mean, he's plainly the third striker now behind Kane and Son.
Yeah.
And it's also quite clear that Pochettino doesn't really think he can do much from the bench and doesn't really see a point of having him on there.
Yeah.
It might just be a case of just seeing out this season and then seeing what frame of mind and what kind of state he returns to pre-season in before making a call on him.
Because he's
still young. He's 22.
He wasn't a panic buy either. I think that's important, that he was bought early. So we must have seen...
Yeah, I tend to kind
something.
Of...
See, when you look at Sissoko, last minute of the transfer window,
yeah.
Poch had been talking about that player to break the lines. Newcastle basically just had our trousers down, really, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the summer recruitment, the end of last season, it became really clear there were two... kind of the first 11 was really strong, but there were two gaping holes in the squad, and it was cover for Kane and cover for Dyer, because those guys pretty much... played about 60 games last year. Oh, and when they didn't play, Spurs were a lot worse. And so it made complete sense to get Wanyama and Jansen in, and it felt like they were players that had been scouted for a while, that they weren't, as you said, they weren't panic buys. The negotiations were kind of, well, not in the case of Jansen, quick, but they were kind of fairly efficient by Spurs standard. It's not like it dragged out into the final weeks of the window. So, yeah, there must have been a lot of thought that went into that transfer. And it's one of those things where you just look at Soldado, for instance, and I always thought he was a good player, but you could just see he was a kind of broken man. And he was just lost all confidence. And you just kind of knew... at a certain point, around about kind of Fiorentina tie, that it was just never, ever, ever going to happen for him, no matter how many kind of glimpses there were. And you just don't want it to get to that point for Jensen, where you just think his confidence is so low, things have gone so poorly for him, that it's just not going to work, no matter whether he's a good player or not. And I'm actually not sure if he is. That's the problem.
Yeah, as well, you've got to look at certain players can look really good in certain leagues, and sometimes it really can be as simple as that. I mean, Soldado is a good example of that. He's absolutely smashed La Liga for years, came to the Premier League, admittedly a really disjointed Spurs team that season, and you know, seven new signings all expected to go into the first team, you know, you over half your team, and you've got a striker that you're supposed to build that around. But Janssen's in a very different position. He's come in from a different league in which he struggled at first and then had this batch of goals. It requires a different level of fitness and a different level of thinking and intelligence in that league. And it's not saying the Premier League's amazing. We've got some absolute jobbers as centre-backs. But his build suggests that he'd be capable of giving them all a run for their money. And at the moment, it just looks as if he does all of that but without the ball, and he does all of that nowhere near where he needs to be. So, but then at the same time, where's the game time coming from? If you can't bring him on at 3-0 up against Fulham, for instance, or away in a difficult tie at Ghent where he's not even put on the bench, that's of all things, that was
damning,
the most
wasn't
damning.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, we said it at the beginning of the season that for every Van Nistelrooy that comes to Premier League, there's a Kesman, and for every give me another Dutch
Suarez.
There's Alfonso Alves.
Yeah,
there you go. And it just that happened.
Yeah,
I kind of said that in the full belief that Janssen was going to be a Suarez or Van Nistelrooy, but it's certainly looking more like a Alfonso Alves.
Yeah.
Or Kesman at the moment. So, yeah, I think it certainly looks like he's going to have to maybe wait to pre-season, clear his head, come back and give it another shot.
Yeah. He's got everyone to win round.
Yeah, I mean, what's working in his favour is that he's been terrible and he cost 17 million quid and Levy doesn't like losing money on players after a year, so you just wonder, even if Spurs do put him on the market, maybe they just won't be able to sell him.
Yeah, oh God.
Saving grace.
Oh, Vinny, mate. Well, we said that we beat Fulham. We've mentioned the Fulham game, obviously, 3-0. I really, apart from it being 3-0, I thought it was a really good game. I thought Fulham try and play football, and to their peril a lot of the times, and eventually they were just beaten by a team that can play football better than them. But for a little while, it was a really good kind of end-to-end, nobody taking it full control, and then we just sort of went up a gear, and from about 15 minutes in, we were just completely dominant. Quite professional, bit of mojo back, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with what you said. I think before the game, it did look like a really tough tie on paper, especially considering the Liverpool and Ghent results. But in the end, Spurs are a top five Premier League team. Fulham are a championship team scrapping to make the playoffs. And in the end, Spurs just kind of exerted their authority and exerted their superior quality over Fulham, and you know the difference makers were players of real class, Eriksen and
Trippier
and Kane. Kieran Trippier
was really good.
He's good.
He's into a really solid. When you look at the shit that Ben Davis has got, and
I'm a bit wary of actually getting carried away.
What, with Trippier?
Well, I just
don't think anyone's getting carried away.
I'm conscious of the fact that I've said a few weeks ago, you know, I don't think our backups are good, and now on the back of a game against Fulham, I'm like, yeah, he's great.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he's a lot better suited to the wing-back system than Davis, as I think you said last week, and he's got a great cross on him, and he's much more comfortable in the final third than Davis. He's just more suited to Tottenham than Ben Davis. That's not to say he's a much superior player, in my view.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's horses for courses, I suppose, a little bit as well. I thought it was great. And did he had the throw in for the first goal?
Yeah,
didn't he?
Ball boy, what a hero!
Yeah, get in, mate.
It's sort of underrated weapon, the quick throw.
Yeah, really good ball. I thought all the goals were really good, but I thought the first goal in particular was
switched
on Tottenham.
Yeah, it was. It was good to see. And Kane, I think Kane sort of made all the goals look relatively easy, but actually they're all quite sort of tricky finishes.
For a team that hasn't scored in open play in 5 games.
Yeah.
And Kane hasn't scored in open play since West Brom.
Yeah. Did you see the Instagram post his missus did the morning of the game?
The chunk flag. Yeah.
His daughter slept through the night for the first time and he banged in a hat trick.
Yeah.
No coincidence.
I'm telling you, just get loads of bottles of Calpol and just get her to sleep.
Drug her.
Well, that's what they do. That's what parents do.
Is that right?
Basically drug children, yeah. Every parent that I know has just been like, if they are crying, just give them a little shot of Calpol. Doesn't do anything. It's kids' Calpol.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it just sort of soothes them a little bit, takes the temperature down. Kids are all over the place when they first pop out.
All right, yeah.
Not advocating.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just saying. Just if Calpol want to send any free stuff to Harry Kane, then please do. That was funny. That was a good point. Kane's now got 5 hat-tricks for Tottenham, one more than Gary Lineker. Can you name the 5 teams that he's got hat-tricks against?
Ooh. Well, West Brom.
Yes, and Fulham.
And Fulham. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we've got 3
West
more.
West Brom, Fulham.
One is a
Bournemouth.
Yes.
Leicester.
Yes, which was the shittest hat trick I think I've ever seen in my life.
And mate, and then someone.
There's one more, and it's
ropey as hell in the Europa League.
He's one of his.
Is it Asteras Tripolis?
Yes, his famous one where he went into when he went in goal at the end. Yes, correct. I thought you were going to really struggle with that.
No,
not a reflection on you. I just got
the knowledge.
I just couldn't remember any of them, really. Forgot Leicester and I forgot Bournemouth.
I mean, Bournemouth was... I mean, if you think Leicester was shit, Bournemouth was like him shooting at Boric and Boric like jumping out of the way.
Pretty much, yeah.
One was a penalty. I feel like... I can't remember the Asteras goals because they were just overshadowed by Lamella, weren't they?
Oh, of course, yeah.
But I
what a game that was! That was a ridiculous a game. Football game.
But I would say that Fulham... What were the West Brom ones? I've already forgotten them.
It fed into him and it hit the post and went in.
Yeah.
Second one was the volley when Walker mugged off one of their defenders, put it
in. West Brom was a good hat-trick.
It was a really good hat-trick. A good team hat-trick, if you like.
So the last two hat-tricks would be among his best.
Mm.
Or his best two. Five. I think he made all the finishes look easy, particularly the hat-trick goal, where he just kind of... The keeper was actually covering the near post quite well. And he sort of curled it so well that the ball ended up kind of in the middle of the net, which I always quite liked.
Yeah, I know what I mean.
Like he got a nice bend on it.
Around the keeper, but that's going in.
Yeah, but around the keeper, but
in
the end, it was sort of comfortably in. And yeah, I thought it was, Eriksen was really good, and Winks was really, really good as well. And
should
it's
talk
kind of,
about Winks, definitely.
Yeah, it was sort of no coincidence that 4-2-3-1 suddenly looked like a really viable option again, and it looked really good again when those two guys, who are kind of players who dictate the tempo, get their head up, you know, pick passes, find space, drag opponents out of position, this kind of thing. And you know, that formation has looked, I think, rigid, and you know, in the absence of Rose, it's looked flat and kind of, I'm not sure the word is, sort of stayed. But with those two buzzing around and on their game, it was sort of no coincidence, I think, that it looked really good again.
Yeah, Winks, I think it's easy to get carried away with that sort of performance, and it is a caveat to say that it is only Fulham.
Yeah.
But you have to perform, and I think we've said this when we were talking about someone like Onuma coming in and out of the team and getting 10, 15 minutes here and there and starting in the cups.
Yeah.
And Onuma has never impressed. And admittedly, we still aren't sure of his best position and if he's played in it. But Winks has just impressed every single time he's been on the pitch this season. I think he had 10 minutes like in Moscow. Really well. He's
started
like Champions
two Champions League,
League
games.
Yeah, and he came on against Borough, looked tidy, nothing more. He doesn't need to do much more, but he was tidy, came on for Dembele, who was still not fit. But if you look at the performances in recent weeks, like when he came on against City in a game where we were under it for 90% of that game, apart from that ridiculous period where we got two undeserved goals, we had a midfield that was suddenly playing at centre-back that was behind him, and he was like the one holding midfielder against this ridiculous attacking threat of City. And he was brilliant against it. I thought he was one of the best players that we had, really, even though he only came on for a little while. And a performance, a 90-minute performance like that against Fulham, who, again, they're just a decent side, they're not much more, but he's growing as a player, and he's growing as a first-teamer as well. He's now looking like a real option for us. So he started in the league against West Ham, didn't he, first, with Dembele and Wanyama, and I thought that was maybe a way of protecting him, but he doesn't look like a player that really needs that much protection necessarily, do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right in saying that he's taking his opportunities, and that's really important, because it's all very well saying, oh, Pochettino's a manager who gives young players a chance, but he's not a manager that's going to give you chances if you don't take them.
Mm.
He's not a manager that's going to give you fourth, fifth, sixth chances, which is why for Janssen, he's actually a young player in his own right, he's only 22, and Onuma, who's only 19, to be fair to him. So I think he's going to have a few more chances, which is why it's a bit perilous for them, because they have been given chances and they're not doing much with them. Whereas Winks, every time he plays, he looks good.
Mm.
And every time, and I haven't got the stats with me, but I think it was 96% of his passes he completed against Fulham.
Which for a central midfielder is like when Kane first coming into the team in the Europa League scoring a goal, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean,
like a centre mid getting that passing and ticking it over is the same as a striker doing what they should be doing.
And there have been a few Modric comparisons flying around.
I think you're talking about the James Moore tweet.
Well, Windy did it as well.
Yeah, I think it's been a little... James Moore's definitely misconstrued a little bit.
Was it tongue-in-cheek?
No, not necessarily, because he said that he's the first midfielder we've had like since Modric, like the passing ability, which is saying more about our midfield recruitment in that 4 or 5 years since Modric.
Yeah.
We haven't had a player like him, and that's not saying Winks is incredible, he's the new Modric. It's just saying we've not had a player that can pass the ball 5 yards forward properly in centre mid, when you think of the players that we have signed in that time, you know, Kapu and Dembele and Sandro, all good players, but not they're not going to do the same what's the word, metronomic stuff that, you know, Tom Carroll once did for us.
You've managed to mention Tom Carroll
again. But I think that's where I think he was coming from.
Okay, I've seen it. I saw it elsewhere. And he's really impressive. And yeah, and as I said, I think he's maybe the key to, if Pochettino wants to use that formation, I don't think the three. One thing we didn't mention about Ghent was he kept changing the formation. He changed it twice by 45 minutes. He changed obviously to the wing back role at wing back system at half time, and midway through the first half he changed back to 4-2-3-1, having started in a kind of 4-3-3. And I don't think the 4-3-3 worked, and perhaps it was a kind of experiment, and I don't think it's ever really that system that he used in the Champions League a few times of kind of 4-1-4-1 or 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. I suppose I've never looked good in that. No. I wish he'd stopped trying it, to be honest. He seems to think it's the key to Europe, and it's definitely not the key to Europe. But yeah, I think Winks is ready to play that in that two with another.
Well, we ran the Tottenham Way Twitter account ran a poll yesterday after the game, asking on current form and in the current formation that we have to play, or the 3-4-3 that we will inevitably switch to once everyone's fit, but on current form, who should be playing with Wanyama, who has to play, is one of the most on-form players we've had all season, I think. And it's more split than I thought. We asked, obviously, Dembele versus Winks, and for a little while, Winks was edging this. We had about 1,000 votes, just over 1,000 votes. So the final results, it's just come in. And Dembele's won it he's got 51%.
Ooh!
It's a real election result, if you know what I mean? It's just sort of like creeping up either side.
Yeah.
But he's...
He won Florida.
As good... Yeah. As good as Winks has been, I thought people wouldn't be anywhere near him, like over Dembele by any means. But it looks as if he's impressed enough. And maybe Dembele's not been as impressive as last season, it's starting to look like a real option for us in that centre mid. I mean, Twitter polls are polls. We can't really read too much into it. But the people have spoken, Dan.
People have spoken in favour of Dembele. So what can we say?
But still, but it's close. It was a lot closer than
it was. I think it is close. I don't really feel the need to rush with Winks. There's kind of a case, going back to Onuma, that maybe Pochettino should kind of go against his usual practice and send him out on loan just so he can get some games. But Winks is going to get enough games. He's probably going to start against Ghent again. He'll probably start against Millwall. He'll probably start a few more league games. I don't really see the need to rush, and I still am with the 51. I still think Dembele's just such a key man. And I love watching him. I like watching Winks as well, but I like watching Dembele, and I think he can do what barely anyone else in the Premier League can do. There's no one else in the Premier League who can play like Moussa Dembele when he's on it. And I think it's fair to say that he hasn't really been on it this year. I think Spurs are probably constantly managing an injury or two with him. And that's just a reality. I think sometimes, certain players hit 27, 28,
He's always had it as well.
Yeah, I think he's always had a foot thing, and they're constantly managing it. And there might come a time where the club has to say, well, we've got a younger, fitter, better player. But I don't think that time has come yet. I still think Dembélé is such a key man. The way Spurs transition, and this sounds really hipster and techie, but the sort of transition from defence to attack with him in the team is, they can't replicate when he's not in the team.
Mm.
I mean, they've always got the Alderweireld long diagonals, but when the ball goes short to Dembélé and he's just able to drop a shoulder and or pirouette and take a couple of opposition players out of the game, and the whole pitch opens up ahead of him, and it's just great to watch. And I think it was really the key element of the success of last season.
And that's fair enough.
Yeah, and I think what happened at the beginning of the season was that Pochettino knew that Dembélé was going to miss the first three games. He probably knew that he was lucky to get so many games out of him last year. So he was thinking of ways to play without him.
Mm.
And initially it was Dier, Wanyama, which didn't really work.
No.
And then I think he started switching the formation, and he said at one point, I think we're going to play with one defensive midfielder from now on, but obviously he didn't really stick to that. Then the wing-back system came into it. And I think he's constantly looking for ways to play without relying on Dembélé as much. And I think he's now found it in Winks. But that's not to say that Dembélé isn't still a key man.
Mm.
It's to say that there's a bit of pressure off his shoulders. And that's a good thing.
We've got so many games coming up as well. Potentially, we've got another season ahead of us almost. So
yeah.
We need those legs. We absolutely do.
If we can get past Ghent, which I think is quite a big if, given the form at Wembley.
80,000 for Wembley, by the way.
Well, tickets sold.
I think people will
it's
still.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we can get past Ghent, you know, get Winks in both legs the next round, get him against Millwall, keep giving him minutes in the Premier League. He's going to play enough games.
Yeah, I agree. Mentioned Millwall. FA Cup quarter-final seems to have sort of fallen into our laps a little bit.
It's weird that we're in a quarter-final.
Suddenly, it's been a while.
Suddenly look at the draw. And you're like, there's only four matches.
Yeah.
Like it's been narrowed down, and it makes it even more frustrating like the last few years. Like,
yeah.
We just haven't managed to do it.
I tweeted yesterday about Arsenal's ridiculous fucking draws. And then I thought, can we really talk that much? Like, we've had, home against Wickham, away
home against Villa, home against Wickham. Like, Fulham away.
They're not non-league, but
we've had a kind draw.
And but two non-league teams in a row is fucking outrageous.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
And they're going to shithouse their way to an FA Cup final.
But it'll be doubly hilarious if they don't, that's the thing.
Or if they just get lumps kicked out of them for two games.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's tonight, isn't it?
Yeah,
plastic pitch, couple of ACLs maybe. Not that we're wishing that.
No, of course. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Millwall, though, are you looking forward to it? Last ever FA Cup game at White Hart
Lane
is what we could have hoped for.
I'm quite scared, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I'm quite middle class. If someone hears me on the way to the stadium,
that could happen at any ground. Dan. Doesn't need to be Millwall.
I'm really looking forward to it. In all honesty,
are you expecting anything? Because apparently, I don't remember this. I can't remember the last time they came to White Hart Lane. I've got a feeling it may have been in the last few years.
I spoke to someone at the FA today, and they are not enjoying it already.
Really,
they're panicking hard. I think they're gonna. It's the police have obviously. The kickoff is going to be as early as they possibly can, possibly even before midday.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to get an 11.
Yeah, get possibly even a 11:30 kickoff. Millwall are playing. It's going to be on the Sunday, I think, and Millwall are playing on the Tuesday night.
Right.
So it was going to be either Monday night or early Sunday morning. I think it's going to be early.
Mm.
Early Sunday morning.
As Ollie Lister tweeted yesterday, the demolition of White... We could save a few quid on the demolition of White Hart Lane in this game. So,
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. We always get... always a bit something like that. But, I mean, the last game that we had, I think there was any trouble, let's say, was Arsenal in the League Cup last season. That's because it was League Cup Wednesday night at 7:30.
Yeah.
I underestimated it. I walked down the high road and it got a bit tasty, if you yeah. like. It really took me by surprise, and it shouldn't have done. That's my own fault. That's naivety. But Sunday, 11:30, midday-ish sort of kickoff. Last game at White Hart Lane, FA Cup game at White Hart Lane or not, I just don't think there's going to be much trouble. They take such care with Millwall now. Certainly more than...
But no, but I think Spurs, Arsenal. Yeah, I'm not sure about the trouble, but it's going to be a good atmosphere.
Yeah,
I mean, all the teams that have come to White Hart Lane in the cup, well, just Villa and Wickham, but both the teams that have come to White Hart Lane in the cup, I've been really impressed with their fans. They've been great, and they've got a big allocation, and I hope it's the same for Millwall because it makes for a decent cup tie.
Yeah, definitely.
And actually, I think they've talked about the magic of the cup returning this year, but Spurs have had good cup ties so far. I mean, the Wickham game was brilliant.
Yeah,
Fulham game was, you know, it was a good cup tie, good atmosphere, London derby
on a weekend of a lot of shocks as well. We could
have
been under it,
you know,
there,
and you know, England striker scoring a hat trick. There was a lot of ingredients there for a cracking cup tie.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping it's going to be the same. And I think in terms of the draw, it's what you want really. It's going to be competitive. It's not a kind of ridiculous, you know, one of the non-league teams, you know, the spotlight would be really be on. I almost feel like the pressure's greater. I mean, actually, Tottenham Millwall, that won't be the FA Cup tie of the weekend. The pressure will be off slightly, but they're still a League One team. They're still away from home. They're very beatable.
Yeah.
And you'd like to think Spurs would get the job done.
And if we do, that's a semi-final we're suddenly in, and... How are you feeling about it? I think you sent a message yesterday saying something like you're starting to feel like it's within reach or something like that. You started to feel the excitement of it because get through Millwall in a semi, you've got two games at a stadium that hopefully by then we may be a bit used to. I might be overthinking this a little bit.
That's not a bad point, you know, yeah.
I definitely
yeah.
think that it could be a factor. If we got... Because the thing is, if all the teams that go through that should go through,
although
if
Spurs get stuffed by Ghent Thursday night,
yeah,
could be a stadium that
we've got a terrible record in, yeah. But it could be another opportunity for us to kind of put that right. But yeah. When we won the League Cup, we had Arsenal in the semis and Chelsea in the final, toughest possible, well, one of the toughest runs that we could have had when it got to the crunch time. So I'm starting to feel excited, and also here's a horrible scenario for you. Could be Wenger's last ever game for Arsenal if an FA Cup final against Spurs.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I've put that to both sets of fans over the last 24 hours over Twitter, and nobody's happy with it. Nobody's happy with me.
That is for bringing a brutal that into the thought.
It's possible. It
wouldn't
it
be
very much...
And it would probably be a couple of weeks after the last North London derby at White Hart Lane as well.
Mm. Yeah. Could well be.
It's a defining month and the rivalry between the clubs. I think the Millwall draw is great because I think Tom Colomossi in the Evening Standard did a really good editorial this week saying Spurs are in danger of becoming a bit like one of these batsmen that score centuries when they're on their home pitch, when the sun is shining.
Right,
when it's blue skies, there's no cloud cover, and conditions are perfect. As soon as you change something, take them away from home, the ball's swinging, cloud cover, cracked pitch, they mess up.
Yeah.
And it's a good analogy because I think Spurs, when everything's going well, when it's the best 11 on the pitch, they're at home, they'll beat anyone. But as soon as you take out one element of that team, like Rose or Vertonghen, or in October, November, it was Alderweireld or Kane... Mm. As soon as they're a bit tired or confidence is a bit low, they slip up.
Mm.
So I think they're in danger of becoming that. He wasn't saying they're there yet.
Mm.
And I think the Millwall tie is winnable without Danny Rose, but I wouldn't honestly fancy Spurs' chances of beating City, Chelsea, or even United on a big pitch without him. So it's kind of perfect. You know, you'd hope they get through that game against Millwall and then Rose is back for the semis. And it's like I'd fancy Tottenham to beat anyone.
Yeah, due a bit of luck with these bloody injuries this season. I know I'm setting myself up for heartbreak, but I am starting to sense it a little bit. I'm starting to get excited by the FA Cup That we've lost six semi-finals since we last won it. So, what, Chelsea, Portsmouth, Arsenal at Old Trafford when Gary Doherty scored and we all thought this was it. This is it. Gosh. We're going to do it. Yeah. And then they equalised within about a minute. Hoddle's first game, that was. Newcastle, when we lost in extra time. Shearer scored a worldie against us. There's another one, I can't remember who it was. Or another two, I can't remember who they were. Right. Okay, we've got a terrible record in semis now in the FA Cup. We've actually got a shit record in the FA Cup for a team that prides itself on
a cup team
and a tradition. You know, we are, you know, Spurs from the lane who win the FA Cup every year. There's a one and all that nonsense. We've not won the thing in nearly 30 years. So I'm not, I'm reserved, but I'm starting to get a bit excited purely because we've had a decent draw. So if we get to the semi, and you said it, the only way that Poch is going to take this seriously is favourable home draws. And we're in the quarterfinals, and we've got probably, apart from the non-league clubs, the most favourable home draw that we possibly
could get.
Yeah, it's a great
draw. That's the thing. The only way Spurs are going to win the FA Cup is, as much as we give Arsenal stick, is to shithouse their way through the first three or four rounds, and then suddenly...
Oh, yeah, I give them shit, but I'd take it all day long.
Yeah, I mean, that is the only way he was going to take
Lincoln
it seriously.
In the final,
but, I mean, yeah, you still got to beat what's in front of you, and they've just about managed it. I mean, how gutting would it be now if it was Wickham, you know, if it was Wickham or Fulham against Millwall in the quarters, we'd just be kicking ourselves. Yeah. It was the same with Palace last year.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. They got all the way to the final, didn't they? Yeah, of course. Yeah, so realistically, we're looking at one of, United and Chelsea
are
playing each other,
aren't they? If things go to plan, it'll be Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs and City in the semis.
City have got Borough, is that right?
City or Huddersfield have got Borough.
That's a bit unfair. I would like... Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't like any of them. I want them all to fuck off. But I don't know what I'd want. I don't think I could face having Chelsea or Arsenal in the final.
Let's not worry about the final. I'd probably take Chelsea.
What, in the semi or the final?
Yeah, semi.
And then City in the final?
I suppose beating Chelsea, they can do it. They can do it again.
Beating City. We have it in us to beat City. I know they have it in us to pummel us as well, but...
Yeah, actually, the one to avoid is Mourinho, isn't it?
Like, I don't want United
anywhere
near
his record over Pochettino and his general ability to grind out cup results makes him the one not to want to play.
And he wants that trophy, doesn't he? But then they've got the League Cup. I don't know. I mean, I am excited for it. I'm starting to feel like... I mean, we've got to get through Millwall first, and it should be said that we thought this about Wickham.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We very, very nearly shit it up there. So, okay, that's great. So we've got... We asked for some listener questions, but I have to say we've pretty much answered every single one that people have sent us. So we've been talking about... the Fulham ball boy. There's somebody asking about the team that we should be playing in Ghent, against Ghent. We've pretty much done it. Given Dembele's unreliable fitness, his Winks about to become a starter. We've pretty much done that. Ollie Whitefoot, given Poch's distrust of the squad players, will we see full strength team for the rest of the season? I suppose on top of that, is it possible for us to play a full strength team for the rest of the season? I suppose that ties into what I was saying earlier about every member of the squad or the first team has had a bit of a break through injury, but...
Yeah, I sort of think you can see now that there are players of the second string that he trusts, like Trippier. He obviously trusts Davis as well.
Son.
Mm. And I don't know whether it's just because of his price tag, but Sissoko seems to be still getting in the team every now and then.
Mm.
He's so bad.
Oh boy, yeah. He's looking ropey. Yeah, not good, is it?
Not good at all. There's it's kind of back to you know, in his first season when Spurs only basically used 14 or 15 players for about 7 months after binning off Kapu, Adebayor, Lennon. And Kapu.
Yeah.
He sort of gradually binned off Stambouli as well, didn't he? And he sort of
Oh yeah.
He was quite happy to pick from a relatively small pool. And I suspect he might do that again for the rest of the season and try and manage it.
Mm.
I said after the Wigan game, I didn't really think we'd see some of those players again.
Mm. Made and up his mind.
Yeah, and you do sort of wonder, you know, Onuma, Wimmer, you know, when are they going to get back in the
yeah.
team?
And as well, I said I saying about the I thought it was a psychological thing rather than a physical thing, the drop off at the end of last season. It is a bit of both, of course, but I think that the Chelsea draw was so damaging to us. And it felt as if there wasn't anything to play for, but you'd hope that if we got to an FA Cup semi or a final, it kind of doesn't matter what happens in the league, they've got to stay switched on for something because they know there's a cup final coming up.
I think Spurs will definitely stay at the very least in the reckoning for the top four until they arrive to the end. Yeah,
but last season it was the title, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think
we blew the chance.
Yeah, maybe the fact that the cups are on is going to be... is going to be a positive, because if Spurs are out of the cup, if they finish bottom of the Champions League group and they'd lost to Wickham, you know, maybe slipping out of the title race would have had a similar impact. But as you said, now they've got to stay switched on. They're fighting for places.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, that's fair enough. But I don't think we've got any more listed questions to really go through. You look like you're ready for bed, Dan. Has your sofa arrived?
No, it's not arriving till Wednesday week.
Oof. Oh, actually, yeah, sofas take ages.
He's so annoying.
Yeah, that is a bit annoying. Never mind, Dan. Get there. Will you be on holiday? So we should mention
holiday,
that, Dan,
yeah.
next week you're going to be away. You won't be on the podcast.
Correct.
So I'll be getting a couple of stand-ins. I'm sure they'll be able to fill some very considerable shoes. But where are you going?
Thailand.
Very nice. Very nice. How long?
About a week.
About a week.
Well, I mean, sort of... most of 2 weekends and then the week in between.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, you see what I mean.
Okay, so yeah, well, you'll be missing next week, definitely.
Yeah, I'll be back for the post-Everton pod.
Nice one.
I might not have watched it, because I think I might be flying.
That's fine.
I'm not exactly.
We'll
I need to check. Yeah, yeah, just let me know.
Well, enjoy it, mate.
Cheers,
very well-deserved, have to say.
I mean, honestly, not really, but nonetheless, I'm looking forward to it.
You hope? It's been a like elongated December, Dan, I feel.
Tonight?
Just since December.
Oh, really? Have I been struggling since?
No, I don't mean that too badly. I just mean it's just feels
London,
like
mate. It's so...
Yeah.
It's just big and polluted, smoggy. And it's like full of alcohol and vices and I just feel
good
rough.
Good thing you're going to Thailand, then.
Yeah.
Thailand, where there's nothing
like
that.
No, it's going to be a pure holiday in Thailand. I'm not going to...
Well, enjoy yourself. We'll be back. I will be back next Monday with a review of Ghent and Stoke and an Everton preview. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye now.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.